Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to my show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it is a glorious day here in the South, and I know it's been a very rough weekend across the country with tornadoes, and as my guest will be able to share with us, she's living in a wonderful, glorious place, too, so we will get to hear about where other people are living and how nice it is in that area, and just to have a nice, great day. So today my guest is Dr. Carolyn Dean. What we're going to be talking about today is children's health. I know this because my four kids grew up in the 80s and the 90s when people really weren't talking about kids' health at that time. It was more, if you have an issue, you can call up the pediatrician. He'll hand you your white sheet of paper on the way out and you're good to go. And I kind of was on the other side of the hippies. The hippies were in the 70s and it really wasn't, you know, knowing how to take care of your kids. We kind of just had your kids, you go to the doctor, and you get what you needed. And now I think the trend is coming back around again to start paying attention to your children, see what they need, their health needs, what are they getting in their diet. It's no longer, I grew up, we used to have cereal in the morning, we would come home for lunch from school, and then we'd have our dinner, and that would be it. Now it is, you know, what can you grab on your way out the door? What can you have for snack in the morning at school? And then you have a lunch. Then you have an afternoon snack. And then you come home and you have another snack. And then you have dinner. But then you're still hungry again because you're up at 10, 11 at night when kids really need to be in bed, 8 and 9. So much has changed with children and their diet. But then we wonder why they're acting out. And we wonder why they can't learn. And we're wondering why their skin is so crazy or why they have all of these allergies. There's so many pieces of a child's health and growing that it seems like the gears on the bike are starting to lose some spokes. Things are like knocking off. This isn't getting taken care of. Another thing's not getting taken care of. And we end up with children with autism. We end up with children with bowel disorders. We end up with children with cancer and diabetes and obesity at the ages of 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Something has to be going wrong. You can't, in your right mind, stand on the street and say, my child eats really well. I do everything I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know what's wrong with him. So now we're going to say, time to start listening, time to start learning, and time to start paying attention. Because there's little clues there, and if you really miss them, the doctor in his 15-minute little session with you is not going to be able to pick it up. So you as parents are going to really need to be more conscious of your child's health. So today, Dr. Carolyn Dean, she's been a physician for over 25 years. She's the author of Homeopathic Remedies for Children's Common Ailments, which we will be talking about, hopefully I'll ask her, and maybe she'll be a guest on another show to talk about that. But she's been helping young people and old with diet, nutrition, and related health issues. And she's the health expert who was one of the first to see the coming childhood obesity, diabetes, and chronic health issues in the U.S. And she believes that these are all as a result of modern farming methods, the depletion of vitamins and minerals and nutrients from our soils and foods as a root cause to the health problem of over 75% of Americans not getting their RDA of the vital nutrient magnesium. We will be focusing on magnesium today, but we're focusing on the entire child also. What is nutrition? What is health? What is magnesium's part? So if they have any questions today, we will also be able to take call-ins. The number would be 424-258-9318, but please do remember to push 1 so that I would be able to see your number on the line and you'd like to ask a question. If you are listening to this on archives, after the show today, there will be a link added to the show page where you will be able to find out more information about the free magnesium download book. And you'll be able to get a whole lot more information about what Dr. Carolyn Dean is speaking about today. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Dean to the show. Hello, Dr. Dean.
Hello, Dr. Jeanette. Good to meet you.
And you as well. And Dr. Carolyn, as we'll refer, it'll be great. You'd like to tell us about, you are living in a great place. So can you,
oh,
we
yeah.
always like to start off the show, and we always talk about the weather because it seems to be on everyone's mind these days. They're like, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
I know. It's like the shifts that we're all going through are reflected in the weather, but it's amazing in Maui, where I live, we have all year round kind of an 80-degree, low 80-degree, sunshiny, amazing weather pattern. We have the trade winds that blow the clouds. If any clouds develop, they're blown away by the trade winds, which keeps us all cool. So I live in paradise as far as I can see.
Well, you know, I think I did not appreciate where I lived in paradise when I lived in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived there for 10 years, and I was kind of like, oh, I'm tired of the sun. I'm tired of the great weather, you know?
Oh,
and it was
what
am I thinking? Can I hit myself in the side of the head now, you know? Because
Go ahead.
Now I live in New Orleans where, you know, June 1st, as we always talk on the show, is going to be hurricane season. And everybody's looking at where is the water coming this year. And, you know, flood insurance has not only doubled or tripled, it's gone up tenfold. So a lot of people are saying, you know, this may be the last few years of life on the coast here, or even life south, you know, New Orleans or any of these areas,
mm-hmm.
because if something comes along, we're all just going to, you know, hey, pack it up, leave your windows open and say, see you later. So.
Well, Abby, that's part of what we do in medicine, though, isn't it? We try to give people hope and ask them to just, you know, have an attitude that asks for abundance and good weather and the free flow of energy. I tell people, you know, Chicken Little is always out there telling us the sky is falling, but it does not have to fall on us. And although we see the evidence of the horrors that happen, and we probably see them way more than anybody did 100 years ago because of the media. The media just laps up the negativity and feeds it back to us over and over again, and we really don't have to listen. I mean, you don't hide your head in the sand, but, you know, at the same time, it's almost like we bring it on ourselves when they're individually or even as a collective, we can bring the hurricane to us or we can push it away.
Well, I think so many times since we were affected with Katrina and Ike and all the others since, I've always spoken to people that there's only one thing that's important is about yourself. And everybody says, oh, but my house, I'll never live again. And I didn't know your life was your house or your soul or your being was your home or your material objects and all of these other items. And it's very difficult, I think, when people have not gone through a lot of stressful events but come out on the other side, to be able to say, it's okay, you know, I'm good, I'll be okay. You know, I have myself, I don't care about my stuff, you know.
Right.
That's not
but
who I am.
How many times as doctors have we heard someone who's gone through a life-threatening illness say, wow, you know, that was amazing to go through that. I learned so much. In the middle of it, it's a horror. But afterwards, it definitely does shift your attitude. And, yes, in the West, we've become so attached to our stuff that, you know, after a while, it's almost like we get a huge contrast or conflict in order to wake us up to the reality.
And I think that's what happens with our kids, too. The reason I wanted to do this show in May, well, all of the kids are already out of school here in the South, but what happens is parents, you know, they get their kids off from school in May, and they're like 2 or 3 weeks flux here, and before they go into camp or whatever they do for the summer. But the parents are like, my gosh, you know, these kids are driving me crazy. What's going on with them? They weren't like this last year. Oh, my goodness, you know, I wouldn't want to be their teacher. And you wonder, what are the parents actually noticing or not noticing? And I can tell you from myself, you know, when you've got four of them, hey, it's, you know, one, two, three, or four, which one is screaming next? And it's kind of difficult sometimes to always be as a parent to notice what may be changing with your child, but especially when you've got, you know, a few, but also to deny it and to say, you know, I really don't think that's it, or not pay attention to it and say, oh, just go to the doctor, go fix it, you know? And how can a parent even say, whoa, something's going on, and I really think this is a problem over the summer?
Right, and, you know, it has to do with our society in general, as you know, with both parents usually working and the kids kind of left to their own devices. It's a free-for-all out there, and the diet is at the basis of it, because we are what we eat, and when the kids now are eating fast foods, and as you said in the introduction, they're snacking, they're drinking sodas with the 10 teaspoons of sugar, or if it's aspartame, the artificial sweetener, that's a neurotoxin. So they're constantly ingesting things that are making them sick. And, you know, I was thinking about a client of mine who came to me with her two children. Her name is Jennifer Hawkins. She was a writer, and after her experience with me and her two kids, she wrote a healthy kids cookbook, which was fascinating that she went to that extent. But her story was that for 3 years, her kids kept getting sick over and over again, no matter what she did. Her pediatrician wanted to put them on steroids for the winter because of inflammation and ear infections. I mean, steroids, I don't know where that came from, but steroids and antibiotics, like as a preventive. And then when she talked to me, I said, you know, and this is just over the phone, and I got their symptoms, and I said, well, you know, it looks like they have yeast overgrowth from the overuse of antibiotics, and they needed an anti-yeast diet. And that meant no sugar, no wheat, no dairy, and nothing with yeast in it. And, I mean, Jennifer, a single parent, you know, busy, busy, busy woman, she didn't know what to do, but she dug in and learned how to cook and learned what to get in the health food stores. And her kids, I mean, it did not take more than a couple of months for her kids to be perfectly normal and healthy, and they just do not get sick anymore. And she basically just cooked their food and avoided sugar, wheat, and dairy.
And, you know, I think it's so important to begin this show also about talking about what we see in other parents, like you just said about that client. I can recall another woman, she has a two-year-old, and she said, okay, can you get their lunch together? And I said, okay, what did you make? And she says, oh, we only eat healthy in this house. I said, well, what are you putting in the kids' lunch? And she took out the yogurt that came in the plastic thingy, and then she came out with juice, and it was in a little plastic box. And then there were some carrots that were in the little mini carrots that are in the plastic bag from the grocery store. And then she had something else. So if we really analyze looking at that, quote, healthy lunch, the yogurt in the plastic... Plastic had BPA, first off. The yogurt had high sugar and preservatives. So that, you can just pitch that in the garbage. And then the second thing was...
The mini carrots, they're dipped in chemicals to prevent them from going brown because they're so abnormally cut. And, oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's amazing. Well, you know, when I was in New York 5 years ago, I lived in New York, and some of the lectures I did there, I would ask people, you know, what they ate, et cetera. And most of the young women in New York did not cook. They would store their shoes in the stove.
Wow.
Every meal was eaten out. And yes. One young woman said, well, you know, I don't think I've ever eaten at home. When I was a kid, my parents, you know, both worked, and we just went out to, you know, restaurants every night. And of course, as a kid, mm-hmm. you think that's great. But then, right. you know, they're attending my lectures because they're sick. They're just
and they don't understand that.
No, they don't know where it's coming from. They have right. no comprehension that the food that they eat is meant to give us the vitamins and minerals that we require to make our body work. And, you know, one of the most important minerals, as you mentioned earlier, about magnesium. Well, magnesium is required for every metabolic process in the body, pretty much. It's required for energy and for making our DNA and our RNA, making our protein and allowing our muscles to relax, whereas calcium tightens muscles. So what we've been doing with, you know, especially women and children, is trying to force them to take more and more calcium, which just tightens things up, and we're not getting the magnesium in our food anymore, and people are suffering.
And I think that now these new ages of let's grow our food in our backyard, a lot of people are saying, well, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to get my magnesium, and I'll be getting all the nutrients because I'm doing what all the new age is saying. However, the new age is not saying, did you check your soil first? I can tell you from living here in New Orleans, it's high, high, high in lead and mercury and other pesticides and VOCs. And why would you ever want to plant here? And then you also look at, they say, well, I'm going to do a raised bed. I'm just going to go get a bag of that stuff from the store, and I'm going to pour it in it, and then I'm going to eat that food. And so our progression of let's start eating healthier and start growing our own food, and then we'll be doing better, is may tend to be a false sense of what is actually going on.
Very good point. What I tell people is to go to remineralize.org. It's just simply remineralize.org. And they talk about using rock, pulverized rock powder. Mm-hmm. And you can buy it, you know, by the bag, and you put that in your soil to get the minerals in the soil, because, see, that's what's been happening for the past 100 years. The soil has gotten depleted. And as you say, on top of that, with all the pesticides and herbicides, I mean, we look at some of the big pesticides now, the Monsanto pesticides, and they deplete your minerals. I mean, one of them is taking out 50% of the magnesium, and there's little there to start with. 100 years ago, apparently we could get about 500 milligrams of magnesium in your average diet. Now we're lucky to get 200 milligrams.
And even if somebody's going on with these eating out, they're getting even less because it's already been cooked and processed. I know that we have found going to eat out, we noticed, goodness, this looks like a Costco food. The restaurants aren't even cooking, you know. And in many areas, this is absolutely true, and people don't realize it, that these restaurants are buying from frozen food from groceries, these large distributing places, and they just microwave. They microwave your food.
Wow. Yes, that I know. It just it seems almost impossible to imagine solutions. But the first step is to understand the problem. I've written about 30 books, and one of my books is called Death by Modern Medicine. And it's the only kind of negative book I would call it, but I had to write it because I had to put on the table what was really going on, and from there we can work our way out of it. You know, there are definitely solutions, and you know, in natural medicine, some people think the solutions are kind of allopathic in the sense that people will think, oh, well, I'll just take handfuls of supplements and then I'll be okay. I can eat whatever I want and then I'll swallow all these pills. Well, you know, one of my worst examples was a client who was on 80 supplement pills a day. swallowing. And he came to me with, guess what, digestive disorders, because he was swallowing all these pills with binders and fillers. And sure, maybe they're so-called natural, but you have to look at the source of these supplements themselves. I mean, most of them are synthetic. When you have a high-dose B vitamin, it's synthetic. When you buy a food-based B vitamin, it's only going to be about 5 or 10 milligrams. So if you've got something that's 50 milligrams, it's going to be synthetic. And some people's bodies are so sensitized by all the chemicals, they cannot even take synthetic supplements.
So many times people come and they think the MD can't fix me. They threw up their hands, or I'm not getting the results that I wanted. So then they turn around and they come to me, an ND, thinking that we will save them because that is what we're supposed to do and we're their last resort. And what is this item that I can take that's going to fix me? We're really there. Choices of doctors have changed, but their concept in their head about the types of medicine and what they should be participating in and what they should be getting from it and what they should be giving to it is two different things. But they haven't made that leap yet. And then the concept goes still, you know, oh, well, how can it fix? Because we look at magnesium so many times. I mean, I can tell you, you know, as I said, again, we live in the South, and so many people here, you could go to a conference or something, and you could go to a restaurant even, and you look, everybody's legs are going a million miles a minute. And don't you know what that would be here? Diabetes, number one. Everybody's legs are going like crazy, and it's like because of that. Magnesium deficiency with the diabetes, people are saying, oh, well, my legs always fall asleep. I can't sit still. I can't do this. I can't do that. And then you wonder why when the little kids can't wait to get outside and they're running around the classroom. Well, maybe this is something the parents could look at.
Absolutely. And in my work, when I was in private practice and then with my telephone clients, children with ADHD and even autism, the first thing that we do is use magnesium. And it doesn't, you don't even have to think about pills or powders. You can just put them in an Epsom salt bath. And simply putting a cup or two of magnesium in their bath, it calms the children down. They sleep better. They even start having better bowel movements. They're less irritable. They're less twitchy. Just in a simple bath. I mean, it astounds people. And I've seen it happen. Actually, I had a client one day, a new client, and he was having a panic attack on the phone. This is a gentleman in his 40s. And I said, do you have Epsom salts at home? And luckily he did. So I said, go to your bathtub, start running some water, put in two cups of Epsom salts, and, you know, roll your pants up and throw your legs over the side and just sit there with your legs in the water. And within minutes, his panic attack left because his body got the mineral that is required to relax your muscles. If the body's muscles from head to toe are tight, you're going to get a headache. You're going to have problems swallowing. Your heart is going to palpitate. Your stomach is going to cramp. Your legs and your arms are going to cramp. So all these symptoms can be just from a mineral deficiency, and the simple solution is to take some magnesium.
Well, when we're listing off symptoms also, symptoms are actually well, let's go back a little bit. When we said about magnesium always needing to be in a lot of the chemical reactions in the body, it's in hundreds and hundreds. I like to always let the listeners know, when we're talking about chemical reactions in the body, that would be like one, I always say A plus B equals C. So two things come together in your body and they have an action that would be C. But over that equal sign, I always let everyone know, are things like vitamin C, vitamin B6, magnesium. These are one of three of the biggest heavy hitters that if A plus B can't get to C without them. what we call cofactors. So if you're riding a bike and all of your links are there, the chain is there, and you're sitting there going, why won't it go? Why won't it go? It won't go because those things over the equal sign aren't present. They are the things that like light up. It's sort of like sun to a flower. You have the flower, it's grown, the bud is there, it's been watered, its leaves are green, but it's not going to open until it has the sun. So we think of it as the sun. So I always like to let clients know, think of magnesium as the sun. Things need that blossoming effect to go. Otherwise, you can put down all of the A plus B. You can put down all the supplements, the drugs. You could do all the exercise, blah, blah, blah. But if you don't have your basic, basic core things, you're not going to get good health, heart beating well, muscles working right, decreased, no twitching. You won't have a great bowel. You will definitely have less of just irritability altogether. Those things won't go. So that is how I like to let the listeners know to think about magnesium.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's beautiful analogy. And what's interesting about the sun being like magnesium, I'm sure a lot of people don't realize that plant chlorophyll has magnesium in it as its major mineral, just like in our blood we have iron as our major mineral. So the magnesium in a plant is what we want. I mean, we'd love to get all our magnesium from the food, but as we've said over and over again, we just can't. So we either grow our own food and remineralize it with minerals, or we find farmers that do that. Even, I mean, we know now that even organic farms, because they don't use herbicides and pesticides, they might not have the minerals that the plants really want or require because it's just not in the soil.
And it's so important, too, to let people know when they go to that paycheck store, and everyone knows what it is, just because you walked into the door and you can come out with those bags does not mean with the name on that you've done a great thing for your family. So I would seriously caution you in learning about what we're saying about nutrients, learning about diet, and learning about what you need to be doing, because when you can go to that paycheck store, and I don't know about everyone in your location, but I would encourage you to look. The first section is fruits and vegetables. I counted them the other day. 98% of the fruits and vegetables were conventional. And conventional means pesticides. So, again, just because you walked into that door and you're not paying attention to every single thing in the world, like reading the sign, where is it from? Is it organic or conventional? And let me tell you, they marked them wrong. Then the next step would be to look at the sticker on it and see if it's got four or five numbers to let you know if it's conventional or it's organic. But they go one step further is to actually pick it up and smell it. What does it smell like? 99% of the food in that store, I picked it up to smell it. Nothing smelled like anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of these people, I guess I call myself a food snob because I grew up in Pennsylvania in the 60s and 70s, and we got everything from the farm. We got our milk from the dairy. We got our food from the butcher, and we just didn't use the grocery store hardly at all. Everything was from the baker. We went like five or six steps on places on a Friday, but that's just the way it was. But when we picked up a tomato, you could smell the tomatoes in the house. When you cut a cucumber, you knew what you were doing. When you turned around and you picked up a cantaloupe on the counter, everybody, you know, that came into the house, ooh, something smells good. Now you can sit the stuff there and it's even cut up and you can't even smell it, you know?
Right. So. And the other thing about the foods that are not organic is that most of them, not most of them, but many of them are GMO. And this is you know, a crime against humanity, basically, messing with the genetic structure of our very food supply. And we, you know, we have to choose organic, kind of to vote against GMO and, you know, put aside this incredible thrust of big agriculture to own seeds and own the food so that they're in total control of everything we eat. And, you know, it almost sounds like we're, you know, it is hopeless, but again, you know, I know over here in Maui, I go to farmers markets and people are growing organic. They may not be certified, but you're allowed to go to their farms and you see that they're not spraying. If they get an infestation, then they would likely spray something, but it's not this constant bombardment of the soil just to, you know, keep away a couple of weeds. So it's something that you have to dig in, find local farmers, CSAs, community supported agriculture. You can look them up on the internet and find, just like you did in Pennsylvania, find local farmers and butchers and bakers that you can rely on.
I think so many times people will say to me, "Oh, but that sounds like so many issues." And they say, "Well, why are you saying all of those, as we have on this show already, problems associated with food and being able to get magnesium?" Because it's important to know. Because when someone hangs up, they're going to say, "Oh, well, I go to that store. I'm good to go." And what we're telling you is you need to know these other steps to be a really informed consumer. Because you know what? Not every mother has time to sit down and say, "Well, so if you remember when we were younger, we would all sit around the kitchen table, you know, once or twice a week or maybe on the weekends, and everybody would talk." Nobody does that anymore, you know.
Right.
You're sitting there texting somebody else or playing on your stupid phone. But, you know, and nobody really has the answers. You know, what are you feeding your kids? Well, what did you find out this time? Or what did you read this week? Or, you know, maybe I should try that. People just aren't doing that anymore.
Right, and I think that's why I always go back to magnesium as at least something very simple that a person can do, and it has astounding results. We have a nonprofit site called nutritionalmagnesium.org, and people can go to nutritionalmagnesium.org and see incredible research about magnesium, get a free ebook that I wrote, and you know, kind of join up and get our newsletter and really get an understanding of how you can add one simple nutrient to make your life better, give you more energy and less muscle cramping and better sleep. And then with that bit of a boost, maybe you can tackle more than you thought you could and you know, make your own food and get a little more exercise and, you know, get your kids happier with giving them some magnesium. It really is a step-by-step process, and there's no pill, there's absolutely no medication that's going to do for you what magnesium can do.
And I think that's very clear to reinforce also, is that you cannot go to your doctor and say, "He's twitching, check his magnesium and give me a prescription." That is not the paradigm that Dr. Caroline's talking about. So, Dr. Caroline, can you tell the listeners probably what is like one or two huge symptoms that you're like, "Whoa, stop," you know, and that would be jumping out at you about a magnesium deficiency?
Right. With children, it's if they have a little tic, I mean, you look at your child and you see them kind of do a little facial grimace or their, you know, a muscle jumps. I mean, something that you think is neurological, that can be magnesium. If your child gets leg cramps and even doctors will say, "Oh, it's just growing pains." No, it can be magnesium deficiency. Or inability to sleep. I mean, kids should be able to just knock themselves out and sleep for 10 hours. A kid who can't sleep, it means that all their muscles are tight and irritable, and you can't get deep sleep if you're lying there like a rigid board. And a kid can't tell you. I mean, you have to observe this. So it's any sort of muscle or nerve irritation or reaction. And you know, it can be, kids can look like they're having really serious problems. I mean, I've seen children with migraines and it's magnesium deficiency, or even seizuring and it's magnesium deficiency.
And also about the thirst, too. I was with someone recently this past weekend, and they drank 2 liters of Coke within 24 hours.
Oh my God!
And they said, "Though I'm just thirsty. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. This is what I do." And I really am struggling with the option of maybe not being in this person's company, because it got so distressing to me. I just couldn't watch it. It was really difficult, because you know that there's something wrong. There's other things they can do to help themselves, mm-hmm. but they just were not interested. So
amazing.
I know with thirst, with kids.
Right. And, well, what's frustrating is water is more expensive than sodas now.
Right.
So what are they going to spend their money on? But pop and sodas, and like we said earlier, a can of soda has 10 teaspoons of sugar. At any one time in the body, there's only a couple of teaspoons of sugar. I worked it out once. I think it's 3 or 4 teaspoons. So if you hit the body with 10 teaspoons of sugar, it's only used to 4 teaspoons, all heck breaks loose, where, you know, you get this huge a shift of insulin that comes out to try to push down that extra sugar, and it usually overcompensates, and the sugar tanks out in the body. So then you're left with an adrenaline reaction, which can mimic a panic attack, as the adrenaline is forced to push the blood sugar back up. So it's like you're on a roller coaster. So what happens is, you know, that person drinking the 8 liters of Coke, their body is going through a roller coaster. As soon as they feel like their blood sugar is dropping, they'll grab another glass to keep their blood sugar up, and they have no idea what's going on in their body. And long term, I mean, that absolutely adds weight, and it will burden the pancreas to the point where the insulin stops coming out, and it puts up blocks around the cells and causes insulin resistance. So it's a whole dynamic there that, you know, like you're saying, if people just think this is normal to be drinking soda, then they've received this message from the media, most likely, where everybody's happy drinking their soda, but the long-term consequences actually are evident in all the drug commercials now. I mean, I don't watch TV, but, you know, I hear that the drug commercials are just insidious.
And also, too, the fact, I think, there's been a large push to take people who are obese or people who have diabetes or kids that have weight issues to really start shoving down the what we would call diet products. I can remember recently I got a newsletter in the mail from a local very large hospital, and their dietitian had a summertime dessert in there. And the recipe called for 42 packages of Splenda. And I was like, 42 packages, the dessert served 8. There were 42 packages of Splenda in there. And but they said, oh, no, it is absolutely essential. You know, they can have it. It's no big deal. It's not sugar. And I've even gone to medical conferences here in the South where the food would be all diet drinks, you know, and all of those little packets and things everywhere, cans of soda that were all diet. And then the lunch would be a sandwich on white bread with mayonnaise. And there would never be any lettuce or tomato on it, because people here don't eat like that. But at any rate, it was just like you just did the non-sugar, but then you turned around, you put in the sugar, but then it's all okay. And, you know, looking for sugar in other places, because all of that diet right there can so deplete magnesium. I mean, the fake sugars along with all the white sugars is like, you're in such a tornado, I don't even know how you'd get out of that one.
Right. Well, a fact that I came across is that 54 molecules of magnesium are required to metabolize one molecule of sucrose. So this is why a high sugar diet will drain your magnesium. And as for the neurotoxins, the aspartame and all, they absolutely require more magnesium to detoxify them. So it's we're constantly overburdening ourselves, and it's partly the people are they're addicted to sugars and artificial sweeteners, but they're also really trying to get nutrients from food, which makes them crave more food to try to get the nutrients. So if you could get your nutrients in, a good dense food, a green drink or, a high protein meal without bread, sugar, or dairy, then the body would be satisfied and wouldn't keep craving. But because we're not getting the nutrients in our food anymore, we crave and crave and crave and eat and eat and eat and get more and more overweight and are starving ourselves of nutrients at the same time.
Can you share with us your opinion about how water has taken on so many different venues? There is regular water, there's tap water, there's magnesium water, there's alkaline water, but then there's all of these things that you shake and pour and add to your water. I mean, so many parents now are saying, if it doesn't look colored, they won't drink it, they're not going to drink their water, and you're going, hit me on the head,
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's so sad. Water is a huge commercial enterprise now, and maybe it's because that we have to filter the water so much. Most of the water out there, actually, when you buy bottled water, a lot of it is distilled water, or very heavily reverse osmosis water, which means you're taking out mostly everything. So you don't have any minerals in your water anymore, and it is tasteless, and it is yucky. What I've been doing with people is recommending they put an eighth to a quarter teaspoon of a good sea salt in every pint of water they drink. And it doesn't taste like the ocean or anything, but it actually tastes quite pleasant. I can't stand my water without sea salt anymore. And kids seem to like it as well, there's a liquid kids supplement that I tell parents to put in as the child's supplement to kind of flavor and color the water, because, otherwise they're going to drink Kool-Aid or something that's heavily sweetened, or even the orange juices now, they can be moldy, they can have additives, they can have added calcium, which you don't require. But the high fructose sugar content of juices can be a burden on the body as well, because the body has to get rid of those calories. And fructose itself is metabolized differently than sucrose and glucose. It's metabolized in the liver, and actually we learned about this with the high fructose corn syrups, that fructose breaks down into triglycerides, or is on the pathway to triglycerides, and is leading to fatty liver in a great number of people, the high fructose corn syrups. So it's almost, we have to look at everything in moderation, look at foods as coming from the farm, and we cook from scratch and try not to eat processed synthetic foods and get back to basics.
Well, I think we speak so much about feeding our children this way, but then we really have to look at it. Parents are the ones who are in control. If a parent is sitting there eating from McDonald's, but they turned around and gave their kid a green drink, what exactly do you think is going to change in that house? And what kind of paradigm do you know? You really need to make a shift there somehow, some way, because that kid will dump it down the sink when you leave the room and go out and get their McDonald's because they saw what you had.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of, a lot of times when we say, oh, well, this isn't good for you, it's a mommy drink, but then we turn around and we're expecting them to do something else.
Yes. Yes, do as I say, don't do as I do, but as we've already mentioned, I mean, some parents in their 20s and 30s say they haven't had the education themselves. We've had generations now of people growing up on synthetic food, and I know when I was in my physical practice in Toronto, I could tell back then, and that was in the 80s and 90s, that that the children were less healthy than their grandparents.
Right.
We could see the chronic ear infections and the allergies and the lack of energy, you know, just all building up. And now those kids here, I've been in practice, actually, you said something about 25 years, but I've been since 1979, so it's actually about 35 years.
Oh,
and
goodness.
So I've seen these generations go by and, and you know, seen the children getting sicker and sicker or seen, you know, the sadness of parents who have infertility issues, and that's a nutritional cause right there. I mean, it's totally nutritional, but it's medicated, and then a prospective mother is taking all these hormones and drugs in order to have a child, and in what environment is that child being born? In the fetal environment with all those drugs and hormone residues, it's going to affect the child. So we're kind of medicalizing so much about our bodies that, you know, we have to dig ourselves out from under that and try to, as we keep saying, go back to the basics.
And that's very difficult to say that along came the internet and people looking up their symptoms and knowing what's going on and people becoming more educated about their bodies and now saying, oh, well, no, we don't want you to know about all that stuff because that it really isn't helping you. We want you to go back the other way. And how much of a challenge that will be, because it's so easy to find out about drugs and surgeries and what's new coming down the pike or what my insurance will pay versus maybe I actually have to do something about it.
Right. I've had people say outright to me, well, my insurance covers the drugs and it doesn't cover the vitamins. And so
I get that all the time.
I'm stuck with the drugs, and you know, mentioning that, I'm thinking of Angelina Jolie and her double mastectomy as a preventive medicine measure. I mean, this is what we've come to, where, you know, if it offends you, cut it off, and that is unquestionably the worst decision people can make. And this business about genes and how they affect us, I mean, I thought they disproved most of that with the Genome Project, because they were expecting to find about 80,000 genes, you know, one for everything that the body did. You know, they wanted to see a problem and match it up with a gene and then get rid of that gene. I mean, I wish they'd look for the stupidity gene and extracted that. But instead, they found 23,000 human genes. And they said, well, that can't possibly, you know, how it means one gene is doing all kinds of things. What's going on? And fortunately, you know, people have been studying epigenetics, which is the environment of our genes. And around that whole situation, I found out that an Italian research project has found, I think it's 3,571 magnesium receptor sites on the proteins in our bodies. So come to find out, the environment of the magnesium around your proteins will help you build good proteins. If you don't have enough magnesium, then your proteins won't be solidly produced. So we've got the environment of our genes that is most important. There was a study with rats. They have an obese gene for rats. So they gave B vitamins and withheld B vitamins to this group of obese rats, and the rats who had the B vitamins did not express their obesity. The rats who did not have B vitamins expressed their obesity. So you were saying the cofactors, the B vitamins, vitamin C, mm-hmm. the magnesium, selenium, zinc, all these are factors in how our genes express themselves. So to say that there's this one gene, the BRCA gene, that will cause breast cancer, I mean, I've seen headlines, oh, it can cause 45 to 90%. And yes, if an uneducated person listens to that mm-hmm. message,
right.
they're going to be scared, and they're going to do something that, right. you know, based on their fear, and it's really incredibly biased. And in gene therapy, I do not think there's been a case where they can remove a gene and change the outcome. So instead, they're removing organs. I mean, it's mm-hmm. unbelievable.
You know, I think we have about 5 minutes left, and I do really think that a lot of times people tend to present their symptoms and look for that piece of paper because of the fear. If I have, my heart is fluttering, I'm going to die. If I'm having mm-hmm. twitching, it's going to stop working. If I'm having anxiety, I don't fit in with society. So I think our fears way mm-hmm. over on the other side is what draws us back to start looking for quick treatments. And I think what you and I are both saying is that if you seem to have some few little symptoms, why not try magnesium? Why not try to look at your diet? And why not try simple things versus saying, oh, my goodness, my heart's fluttering. Where's my drug? And, oh, maybe you could put a pump in it today because, you know, I don't like it to go not be right,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not be mm-hmm. on that fear paradigm that is really, really running a lot of, you know, oh, you have to have insurance because when you need it, you're going to have to mm-hmm. turn around and you're going to have to need all these therapies that are so expensive. And I think what you and I are both saying is you've got to get away from that.
Right. I think a lot of people, patients, have such a misperception of what a doctor can do. Mm-hmm. Being a medical doctor and a naturopath, I know both sides of the coin. When we were in medical school, we were not taught anything about nutrition or prevention or keeping people healthy. We were taught to list symptoms and match a symptom with a disease and treat the disease with drugs
right.
or surgery. That's all we know. So when you go to the doctor and you have, I'm kind of anxious, I'm not sleeping, I'm twitchy, you're asking for reassurance.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor has 5 minutes to see you, and the prescription pad is already out. I mean, I know doctors
right.
who actually pre-write their prescriptions, and then
yes.
they just grab them and pass them out. Their job is to give a prescription. You're going for reassurance. If you went to a naturopath, you would get reassurance. You would be told, well, have you been stressed lately? What's your diet like? What's your sleep like? Okay, start with magnesium. Come back in 2 weeks and we'll see how you're doing. I mean, it's as simple as that. Whereas you come into the doctor and you're stressed out, especially if, you know, something horrible has happened in the family, you're going to be tight and tense. Your blood pressure is going to be elevated. The doctor says, oh, you got high blood pressure, almost excited because they can give you a drug for it, and they think they've done their job. You go home with a diuretic. What does a diuretic do? It drains more magnesium out of your body, along with potassium and sodium, but they don't tell you you're draining magnesium. You go back in a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden your blood pressure is still elevated, and the doctor says, oh, we caught it just in time. Here's
right.
two more drugs. One is a calcium channel blocker. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, magnesium is a natural calcium channel blocker. They're giving you a drug instead. 3 months later, after being on these three or four drugs, your cholesterol is suddenly elevated and your blood sugar is suddenly elevated. Your doctor again says, oh, we caught this just in time. And you're now on a statin drug and a diabetic drug. What has caused
yeah.
those elevations is magnesium deficiency.
And then the next drug is an impotence drug.
Right.
You forget.
When you're on
that
a statin,
always has to follow,
yeah.
You know.
Right. Yeah, a statin drug will affect your muscles, give you cramps, which
yep.
is a magnesium deficiency symptom, and affect your libido because it
yep.
kills your cholesterol, and your cholesterol is absolutely necessary as a building block for hormones. When I was in med school in the mid-70s, the normal cholesterol was 240 to 260. Now
right.
they're hammering it down below 200. They will tell someone who's 205 that they have elevated cholesterol and they have to be on a drug. It's criminal.
Mine has been 212 since I've been 16 and I'm now in my late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep saying that and I just keep ignoring them. But now
mm-hmm.
I do know with my father, they said, oh no, it absolutely must be under 150. Must be under
what?
150. The heart doctors are telling them must be under 150.
Oh my gosh!
And
that
he isn't doing his job. He mustn't be taking his drugs. So, as we all go, people need to really listen. You know, to what you and I are saying, that it's really time to pay attention to your few symptoms and see if what else you are contributing to the picture, or what else may be part of the picture but not the picture of fear that you're having way down at the end of the line. So, Dr. Dean, if you could please, we have about 2 minutes left. I would love if you could give us your website and how we could reach you and find out more information about everything you talk about in all your books. That would be wonderful.
Yes, thank you. I'm at drcarolyndean.com, drcarolyndean.com. I have a free newsletter and actually 4 weeks of my 2-year online wellness program. You can get the first 4 weeks for free and check it out. And the nonprofit site is nutritionalmagnesium.org, nutritionalmagnesium.org. There's a free booklet there. And one thing that I'm involved in is a Facebook page, Magnesium Advocacy Group. So you just go to Facebook and put in Magnesium Advocacy Group, and it's a great group about magnesium where people can ask questions, and a lot of bright people there that give support and answers. We're trying to create a movement here.
Absolutely, and it's something so basic as an element, you know, a nutrient. That's it.
Mm.
You know, start mm-hmm. with that first and then move your way on up.
Exactly.
So I would thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate all of your insight into how we can help, you know, these little slight symptoms that we're having first and not be on that pony for fear that something's going to take us down in a later time.
Right, and I appreciate the conversation. I mean, we ranged all over the place. And
we sure did.
It was a very nice conversation, and I think we got some good information out to people, which is basically take magnesium.
That's right. And we'd like to go all around the place because we find we have so many listeners that when I always try to say to the listeners, you should find something in here that will work for you or something mm-hmm. that you thought about and you say, you know, I'm not going to tell my doctor that because he's going to think I'm crazy, or my neighbors, you know, I won't really want to say that around them because they'll think I don't know what I'm talking about. So we always like to stay all the way around the circle.
Well, actually, I should say, you asked me about my books. The one that you should get is the Magnesium
yes.
Miracle. I've got hundreds of references. You can take that book to your doctor, and your doctor will be impressed about magnesium. So that's something that you could do to educate yourself and your doctor.
And that's available on the website, correct?
Correct, yes, yeah, just under books and through Amazon.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Dean. Really appreciate it. And it's been a great show.
Thank you very much. Aloha.
Oh, thank you. Aloha to you, too. Thank you. To all the listeners, if you'd like more information about Dr. Dean, I will be posting a few more links on the show page this afternoon. You'll be able to find out her website if you had missed it, where you'll be able to purchase some books. There'll also be a link to where you'll be able to hear about some other options that she has. Like she had said, she's got a few videos, there's a little bit of talks, other people she's spoken with. You could sign up for her newsletter. You can download her free book. So there is a ton of information. That link will be on to today's show page. And this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's been a great day here, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for being with us.